I spoke on the subject of prayer in the first service and want to take it further. Before I start preaching this morning, please, if you are sitting far and there are seats that are empty in front of you, I would like you to come, because once I start preaching, I don't like people walking around, especially where there are seats that need to be filled. Let's always leave the back seat for people who come late. Amen, somebody. It's good to be early. Amen, somebody. I said hello. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, how's your prayer life? Answer him back. Fine. Wonderful. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to our foundational scripture, John 16. John 16, and we're going to read verse number 23 and 24. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, and in that day is here, amen? Amen. You shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever, that is big, amen, somebody? Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will do what? Give it to you. Itato, have you asked me nothing? Ask and you shall receive, and your joy shall be what? I wanted to read that scripture together at the count of two. One, two, go. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you. No, we are not reading. We are going to do it again. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Are we ready? One, two, go. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Now Jesus is talking about the subject of prayer here. Like I said in the first service, I'll start a series of messages today on the subject of prayer titled Getting More Out of Your Prayers. Getting More Out of Your Prayers. I don't know the kind of experience you have with regards to your prayer life. I don't know whether you are getting results out of your prayer life or not, but one thing is clear. One thing is very clear from these words that we read this morning. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said very authoritatively and very clearly that whenever we approach him, we pray to the Father in his name, he wants us to have answers. Amen. He says, Itato, you have asked me nothing. In other words, up to this point in time, you have not been using my name in the place of prayer. And I said the reason why that is so is because Jesus had not gone to the cross. But you see, Jesus had gone to the cross. He had paid the ultimate sacrifice for my sins and your sins. So we have the power of atoning to use his name. Amen? Amen. I said we have the power of atoning to do what? To use the name of Jesus. It is clear that God wants us to get results. It is clear that God wants us to have fruits when we pray. Our prayers are not supposed to be in vain. Your prayers are supposed to be impactful. Your prayers are supposed to be productive. In fact, your prayer life ought to be what? Virile and productive. God takes delight in the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 15 verse 8 says, it delights in the prayer of the upright. Proverbs 15 verse 29 also says that the Lord is far away from the wicked, but he delights, or he hears rather, the prayer of the righteous. So how can I get results in my prayer life? How can my prayer life be more productive? How can I be more successful in the place of prayer? That is what this message is all about. It's about getting results in the place of prayer. It's about your prayer having an effect, an impact. God never asks us to seek him in vain. Isaiah 45 verse 19, God says that, I said not rather, to the sons of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. To tap your neighbor, you will never seek God in vain. However, if we are going to get results out of our prayer or prayer life, if your prayer life is going to be productive, you need to understand that there are certain principles that we unlock your prayer life. I have 10 of them that we are going to look at. Like I said, it's a series. We're going to continue by His grace next week, Sunday also. In the fourth service, I share two of these major principles that can help you to get more out of your prayer life, to be more successful, to be more impactful, for your prayer to deliver what God intended for you to deliver. And I said the first principle in the first service is that you need to create the time to pray. I explained what all that meant, and I went ahead to also share the second principle, which is you need to develop your prayer life. You can never become an authority. You can never become an expert in something you don't do often. Amen? And I explained to us how you can develop your prayer life. Because of our time this morning, I want to see how far we can go in the second service. Probably look at two more principles that can help you to get more out of your prayer life. The principle number three, so I said principle number three. If you want to be more successful in your prayer life, this is another principle that will help you to unlock your prayer life, which is pray according to His will. Now, I'm going to take some time to explain this morning, because perhaps this is one of the most important things you must get right if you want to receive answers to your prayers. If you want to be successful in your prayer life, or if you want to be successful in the business of praying, you need to ensure that you pray according to His will. See, after me, say, pray according to His will. Now, whose will are we talking about here? We are talking about the will of God. Basically, there is what we call the perfect will of God. There is what we call the permissive will of God. There is also what we call the precise will of God. And there's what we call the prescribed will of God. I don't have the time this morning to explain that, but I just said that so that you know that there are different kind of wills. But I want to bring everything back home again by saying that there is no how you can be successful in your prayer or your prayer life if you pray outside the will of God. You need to be aware of the will of God. Listen, Ephesians 5:17, it says, be ye not unwise. What does that mean? Don't be a fool. Amen, somebody. Because somebody who is unwise is what? It's a fool. It says, don't be unwise, but what? Understand what? What the will of the Lord is. So God wants us to be aware of His will. Ask your neighbor, are you aware of God's will for your life? There is no how you can ever be successful in the place of prayer if you are not familiar with God's will. I'll give you another scripture. 1 John 5 verse 14. It says very clearly. It says, and this is the confidence. That's the confidence that we have concerning Him. When do you have confidence? It says that if we ask anything. So I say anything. Anything is what? Whatsoever. But look at it. There's a condition there. There's a proviso there. It says, according to whose will? Whose will is somebody? Now, that's the condition. If you want to get answers, make sure you pray according to whose will? His will. The Bible says, He hears us. I like that. Then 15 now says, and if we know that He hears us concerning whatsoever we ask of Him, we know. Some say we know. When you use the word we know, it's talking about confidence. We know. Tap your neighbor and say, do you know? We know that we have what? The petitions that we asked of him. Now, the question is this. Do you know when you pray that God has answered you? Do you know that your prayers are having effect? Now, every person who prays needs to be in that kind of condition. The only way you can be in that kind of position is to pray according to his will. Because this scripture says you have to pray according to his will in order to have confidence. Say confidence. I can't hear you say confidence. John 9 verse 31. The scripture says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anybody is what? A worshiper. Say worshiper. Worshiper of God. I didn't say Joshua, please. I said John. Amen, somebody. John 9, 31. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. Are you with me? Say glory be to God. If you are here, say amen. John 9, 31 says, God does not hear sinners, and we know that if anybody is what? A worshiper. Say worshiper. Of who? God. And does what? Does his will. You see that word again? Does his will. He does what? He hears him. So tell your neighbor, if you want God to answer your prayers, you need to know his will. Find out his will. Now, how can you know his will? Or what do we mean by praying according to his will? I will break it down into two things. Number one, to pray according to God's will means to pray according to the scriptures. What does this mean? In other words, if you're going to pray about anything, you must have scriptures to back up your claims. Hello, somebody in the house. And the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be what? Established. So there must be the basis for your prayer is the word of God. That's how I always tell people, before you even start praying, make sure you know what God's word says about what you want to ask him. So the question is this, do you know what the word of God says? Find scriptures that promises you what you are believing or trusting God for. That's what the Bible says in John 5, 39. Search the scriptures. Who should search the scriptures? You and I. Isaiah 34, verse 16, it says, seek ye out of the book of the law. He's talking about the Bible. And what? Seek ye out of the book and what? Read it. Say, read it. It says, not one of these shall want a mate. It says, because my mouth has what? Commanded it, and my spirit has what? Gathered it. So most of the time, I tell people, instead of rushing to pray, listen, take your time to find out what God says and use that's the basis for your prayers. Hello? I'm going to show you two scriptures again. Isaiah 41, 21. God says, produce your course, says the Lord. Who should produce his course? You. It says, bring forth your strong reasons, saith the God of Jacob. No, it's telling you, argue your case. How do you argue your case? You must know what God's word says. Hello? It's like a lawyer who goes to court. Listen, if you are not very familiar about the Constitution, if you don't know what the Constitution says, how do you want to argue your case? Hello? Another scripture, Isaiah 43, 26. It says, put me into remembrance. Remembrance of what? Remembrance of what I have said. Put me into what? Remembrance. Who should do that? You. So you need to be familiar. You see, this is why it is important to know what the word of God says concerning you, to know what the word of God says concerning your present, your past, your future. And let me say this thing. Listen, there is no area of your life, no area of your need that is not covered in God's word. I say that again. There is what? No area. So no area. What does that mean? Financial, emotional, material, physical, spiritual, present, past, tomorrow. There are promises in the word of God that covers every areas. I mean every area rather. Tap it up and say, you are covered. I don't have the time this morning because I want to run because there's so many things I want to say. Listen, I will give you some scriptures that you can. I will give you some scriptures that you can examine. Amen, somebody. Amen. Scriptures that you can examine and check up. Now, these were people who prayed in the Bible. You will see that when they came to pray, when I say came to pray, I mean when they came before the Lord, you will see that they had scripture. If you study their prayers, they were quoting scriptures. They were reminding God of what he had said. I don't have the time to go through all of them. I will just give you all these prayers, some examples of people who prayed in the Bible. Go and check it out. 2 Chronicles 20, the prayer of Jehoshaphat, verse 5 to 12. You can check the prayer of Solomon, 1 Kings 8, verse 12 down to 61. You can see the prayer of the apostles in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 24 to 31. You can see the prayers of the 120 disciples also in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They gather together. Listen, when Jesus told them in Luke 24, verse 49, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, Bible scholars tells us that it was a period of 50 days when Jesus departed before the Holy Ghost came. Amen, somebody. So Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they were waiting. They continued to pray until the promise came. Listen, Jesus was the one who gave them the promise. That was the basis of their prayer. The expectation was not cut off. That's why I want to say this. If you wait on God's word, your expectation will not be cut off in Jesus' name. So tell your neighbor, say, make sure you find scriptures that promises you whatever you are trusting God for. That is how to be successful. If you don't want to pray in vain, there must be scriptures to back up your claim. That is what it means to pray according to his will. If you have what I say, say I hear. Number two, what does it mean to pray according to his will? It also means to pray according to what the word of God says. Now, I have discovered from reading the Bible that if you study God's word, you will discover that there's a way God wants us to pray. It is in the Bible. Amen, somebody? And when you pray according to what the word of God says, you are praying according to his will. Because of time this morning, I'm going to give you about 10 examples. 10 is more than this. If you study your Bible, you see other things that tells us how to pray according to the word. Amen, somebody. Are you ready for this? If you're ready, say, I'm ready, Lord. Number one, how does God say we should pray according to his word? Number one, it says you should come boldly to the throne of grace. Where do you see this? Hebrews 4, verse 16. It says, let us therefore come how? So just shout and say boldly. It didn't say you should come timidly. It didn't say you should come with fear, but you should come how? Shout and say boldly. To the throne of what? Of grace. That you may what? Find grace and mercy to help in the time. In other words, listen. If you are a bona fide child of God, you should approach the throne of your father with what? Confidence. Hello, someone in the house. You know, those of us who have kids, you know, your child or your children, they are different from one another. Yes or no? There are some of them, they are very, very confident. Amen, somebody. There are some of them, you see them, they have this kind of audacity. They can come to ask you anything. Amen, somebody. But there are some of them, they're a little bit shy. Amen, somebody. They will send the one that is very, you know what I'm talking about. The one that is very courageous. Go and ask daddy or go and ask mommy. and they will stay behind. They will be giving moral support. Amen, somebody. But you see, truth of the matter is, every one of our children should be able to come before what? Their parents. Because they are their parents. Hello, somebody in the house? So tell your neighbor, say, you should be able to come boldly. You see, when you study Matthew 7, verse 7, where Jesus says, ask and you shall what? Seek and you shall what? Knock and you shall what? What is he saying? He says you come with confidence. That's why he says ask. Don't be afraid of what? Asking. Don't be afraid of seeking. Don't be afraid of knocking. Amen? You are talking to your father, your daddy. Amen, somebody. Tap your name and say, I don't know about you. Say, I don't know about you. Say, but me. Say, me. God is my daddy. Oh, some of you are not sure. Well, for me, he's my daddy. Amen, somebody. He's my daddy. So I should be able to come before the throne of my daddy and approach him. Amen, somebody. I should be able. You see, that's why Ephesians 3 verse 12 also says, it says, in whom we have boldness with access and confidence. I like that. By the faith of him. Tap your neighbor and say, you should come boldly. Tap your neighbor and say, boldly. It's important. This is how God wants you to pray. This prayer according to this word. Come with what? Come with what? Come on, shout it. Say, boldly. I can hear you say boldly. Tap and say, come boldly. To where? The throne of grace. The throne of grace. Your father presides at that throne of grace, your heavenly father. So there should not be any timidity or fear. If you heard what I said, say, I hear, sir. That's how God wants you to pray. How does the word of God wants us to pray again? Another example in the Bible, number two. It says you should come by the blood of Jesus. Listen, the blood of Jesus is actually what grants you access. There's a scripture in Hebrews 10:19. The Bible says we have boldness or confidence to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of who? Say the blood of Jesus. Some of us may not understand what that scripture says. You see, under the old covenant, the only person that had the authority to come into the holies of holies is the high priest. He does so once a year. That is during the feast of, I'm trying to remember it, glory be to God. That's a particular feast that they do. Okay, that's the Day of Atonement. They call it in Hebrew Yom Kippur festival. That is the day the high priest is allowed to come. And you see, he doesn't just come in anyhow. They will have done a lot of sacrifices to be sure that he's clean and everything's okay. In fact, when he goes in, they tie something around his legs. Just in case. Just in case somebody. He didn't, you know, cover every area. So if he falls dead. Amen, somebody. Because it's a place nobody can go into and bring anybody out. It's a holy place. A holy place. I can't hear it. It's a holy place. In fact, it's the most holiest of all. You see, the temple had three compartments. You have what we call the outer court. Say outer court. You have what we call the holy place. Say holy place. Then you have what we call the holiest of what? Now, the holiest of holies is where the high priest goes once a year. Because that is where, now why is he a sacred place? That's where the Shekinah glory of God is. That's where the presence of God is. Listen, the Bible says God is of purer eyes to behold iniquity. Habakkuk 1 verse 13. So it's a sacred place to go to. Now, the Bible is saying for you and I, amen somebody. I love this. Amen. Under this covenant, the Bible says the blood of Jesus grants you access there 24/7. Hello? Are you in the house this morning? You don't have to wait once a year. The blood has paved the way for you. That's why he says, you see, when you want to pray, know that the blood, say the blood. Listen, It's like standing before the throne. I say, who is there? He said, it's me, sir. It's me, your son. It's me, daddy. The one who has been bought, blood washed and blood cleansed. By what? The blood of Jesus. Say, the blood of Jesus. So that's why you come by the blood. You don't come on your own name. You don't come on your own merit. You come by what? His blood. Tap in and say, his blood grants me access. In case you don't know, you have a better covenant than that of Abel. Your covenant is superior to that of Moses. Hello? Hebrews 8 verse 6. The Bible says we have a better covenant that is established on better promises. Scripture also says in Hebrews 7 verse 22, Jesus is the surety of a new or better covenant. Amen, somebody. The Bible says the blood of sprinkling. Hebrews 12, 24, the B part, speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood grants you access. Sometimes we say, the blood grants me access. So tap it and say, come by the blood. Tap it and say, come by the blood. Into where? Into the presence of your Father. Come by the blood. That's how the Bible expects us to pray. Number three, how does the Bible expect us to pray? I'm just giving you example, so that you know that this is the way to go about praying. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The Bible also says you should come with authority and dominion. What do I mean? Listen, God says, speak to your mountain about me, not talk to what? Thank you. Amen. God says, speak to your mountains about what? Me, and not talk to your what? Don't talk to me about your mountains, but speak to your mountains about what? That's what? Taking authority. That's what Jesus meant in Mark 11, 23. Whosoever shall say unto what? Be that what? And be thou what? And shall not do what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall what? Come to pass. He shall have what? Look at your neighbor, say, you have authority. Use it. Listen, God does not want us to describe the mountain. God wants us to speak to our mountain about him. Amen, somebody. God does not want you to speak to him about your mountain. God knows. Amen? Amen. He wants you to speak to your mountain about God. Tell your problems. Tell your challenges about your God. Amen. Amen. My God is able. He's able to subdue all things unto himself. He's able to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's able to sustain. He's able to carry you. There is no challenge. There is no challenge. There is no problem that you're going through right now that the grace of God is not sufficient. Paul had a challenge in 2 Corinthians 12 about a problem in his body. He spoke to God three times and God did not change his answer. God said in verse 9, my grace is what? Sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect, even your weakness. Look at your neighbor and say, God's grace is more than sufficient. Please, let's speak to our mountains. Let's speak to our challenge about our God. Not talk to what, God, about your God knows. And that's why God has given you authority. Look at your neighbor and say, God has given me authority. Years ago, there was this testimony that was shared by Kenneth Egan. He said he had an encounter with Jesus and Jesus was speaking to him. And in that vision, while he was speaking to him, all of a sudden, a demonic-like creature just crept in and started doing yickety, 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 that kind of thing, making noise. And before you know anything, clouds started gathering, was blocking the view of Jesus and him. And he said he was thinking, Jesus surely can't tell me that I didn't see this demonic-like creature. Jesus should do about it. To his utmost surprise, Jesus didn't do anything. The more that creature was making the sound, the greater the cloud and the smoke, that he could barely hear Jesus. So out of his anger and annoyance, he said, I command you in Jesus' name, go! And of course, that thing fell down and just disappeared. So he said, he had to stop Jesus. Excuse me. He said, I'm surprised. He said, surprised at what? He said, you didn't do anything. He said, well, I've given you authority. I gave you the authority. He said, if you did not do anything about it, there's nothing I could do about it. Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, there are certain things that God has delegated to you. Tap him and say, God will not take your place. Neither can you take the place of God. So tap him and say, fulfill your own role. Say, play your part. You see, God, listen, God will always do that which we cannot do. But do that which you can do. Listen, your mouth is your weapon of deliverance. Use it. Proverbs 12 verse 6 says, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Your mouth is very important. That's why they say in my language, the person that cannot open his mouth to talk, his problem or our problem will remain with him. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, speak to your mountain about God. Tap your neighbor and say, it's time to speak to your mountain about God. God did not say we should complain. God did not say we should murmur. God did not say we should gripe. God says we should speak. And listen, as you speak, the power of God will back up what you say in the name of Jesus. Number four, how does the word of God say we should pray? God says we should come in his name. Say his name. I can't hear, say his name. John 16:23, it says, and you shall ask me nothing in that day. Whatsoever you ask the Father, in whose name? Say in my name. Say in my name. Say in my name. I can't hear, say in my name. And he will do what? Give it to you. John 16, again verse 24, it says, Itato, have you asked nothing in my name? It says, ask and what? I can't hear you. Ask and what? I want to ask you a question. In whose name do we pray? I can't hear you. Are you very sure it's Jesus' name? You don't pray in the name of any man. You don't pray in the name of any pastor. You don't pray in the name of any prophet. I'm sure I'm affecting some people's theology now. Amen, somebody. Hello? Hello, somebody. You don't pray in anybody's name except the name that God reckons with is whose name? You don't pray in my name to God. Amen, somebody. Of course, God knows my name, but that's not the access. That's not what we unlock heaven for you. Amen. Not the name of Pastor Yemi. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. I know there are some ministries that believe in praying in somebody's people, some other people's name. That's not Bible. Amen, somebody. Listen, if you want to get answers to your prayer, follow the Bible, not tradition. Hello. Oh, baby, I'm hitting some of you below your belt. Tap in and say, receive it this morning. A dear lady some years ago came to see me. She was saying that, she said, my life has been so much thing and affected. I said, why? He said, because, you know, I used to belong to a particular ministry. And before I travel, I must get permission. They have to see it first before I go. Amen, somebody. He said, but the truth of God's word that I've received, I just set me free. He said, I didn't know that it was this beautiful and glorious to serve God. I said, it is. It is. You can hear God for yourself. Don't you have the Holy Ghost? The problem is that many people are too lazy. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up from your slumber. You have access to the name. The name. Say the name. Say the name. Come on, say that, the name. What did Peter and John, what did they give that man? The beautiful gate. The name of Jesus. Acts 3 verse 6. They told it, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And when people were coming around and say, hey, see these people, they told them, it's not we all. If you check verse 16 of Acts 3, it says, and his name and his faith through his name has made this man strong. Tap your neighbor, say the name. Please, the way to pray according to the word is to pray in the name of who? Jesus. That's the name. That's the access. See, access code. That's the code. That's the code. That's the name that registers in heaven. That's the name that registers in hell. That's the name that registers on earth. That name is powerful. The name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. That's how to pray. You pray to God in whose name? Another time, you go and read John 14, verse 13 and 14. You see that Jesus also said there that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Number four, how does the word of God expect us to pray? It says we should pray if you want to get answers. It says keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3, verse 22. It says, whatsoever we ask, we receive. Why? It says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing. If you want to receive answers to your prayers, this is part of the way God, this is how to pray according to his word. Keep what? His commandments. 1 John 5 verse 3 says, his commandments are not grievous. The commandments of God are not grievous. They are for our good. You know, one of the things that made Jesus' prayers to be answered, not because he was the Son of God. Amen? I said amen. Put on the screen, Hebrews 5 verse 7. The Bible says Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh, after he had offered up prayers and what? Supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard because he was the Son of God. Hello, are you here? Come on now, I said, are you here? God heard him because he was the Son of God. Oh, I'm sure I'm hitting many people now. Except you are not following me. Hebrews 5 verse 7. Why did God listen to Jesus' prayer? Thank you, sir. I mean, many of you are not following me. Hello? Are you here? If you are here, say, I'm here. Why did God answer his prayers? Because he was Son of God? No. Because he feared. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Listen, if you fear God, won't you keep his commandments? You will. You will. Because you see, we have this erroneous belief that, oh, the reason Jesus' prayer was answered because he was the Son of God. No. Hello. If you keep his commandments, if you do the things that are pleasing in his sight, he will hear you also. God does not have any favorite child. Let me say that again. God does not have any favorite child. When you see that it's like somebody looks or appears like a favorite child, they are the ones that what? Endear themselves to the heart of God. You too can what? Endear yourself. Capital say, endear yourself. They say in my language, is it the child that opens his hand that what? The mother what? So if you don't open your hand, how do you want to know that you want to be carried? The Bible says, draw near unto God and he will be far away from you. Come on, talk to me. What does your Bible say? If you draw near unto God, he will be far away from you. If you draw near, what will happen? But listen, some of us are not drawing near, we are moving far. So how do you want it to be close? Tap your neighbor, say, draw near. Say, draw near. Say, draw near. Listen, you see, your prayer life will change if you understand what I'm talking about this morning. Keep his commandments. Jesus said something very powerful in John 8:29. He said, my Father has not left me. That's a very powerful statement. He said, my Father has not left me. He said, because I do those things. I do those things that what are pleasing. In his sight. That's why he has not. You see, his Father was with him because he was doing things that pleases the heart of the Father. If we too please the heart of our Father, God will hear your request. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, this is how to pray. This is how the Bible asks us to pray. This is how to pray. This is the Bible way to pray. Keep his commandments. Do things that are pleasing. Listen. The heavens will open over you. No longer will you struggle in your prayer life. the days of struggling in your prayer life, they are over in the name of Jesus. A new day beckons. A new day is starting today. You're entering into a new dimension of prayer life. Your prayer life is receiving fresh impetus, fresh grace from above in the name of Jesus. Things will never be the same in the name of Jesus. Look at it and say, when I pray, my Father hears me. You're not saying like you are sure. Say, when I pray, my Father hears me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that that's the way we should approach God. That's the way to pray according to the word. The word will work for you. The word will work wonders in your life. In the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. How does the word of God say we should pray? We're still talking about praying according to his will. How can I pray according to the word? Look at me. I said verse 6. Number 6. Amen, somebody. Come in faith. Say, come in faith. Listen, if you want God to answer your prayers, how to pray according to the word, come with faith. Say, with faith. Listen, there's no point praying if you don't believe. It's a waste of time. Hello, somebody. Listen, we said this. We have what? A prayer what? Answering what? God. I don't know about you. My God is a covenant-keeping God. God still answers prayers. Oh, he does. Stop here and say, he does. God is still in the business of answering prayers. That's why, listen, your expectation will not be cut short. God still meets needs. God still heals today. God still delivers today. God still provides today. God still protects today. And his word will be really your life. Look at him and say, when you come to the throne of grace, believe. It's important to pray with faith. The Bible says without faith, Hebrews 11, 6 is what? Impossible to please God. He that comes to God must what? That scripture is very strong. He didn't say may. He said must. Say must. It's a requirement. If you don't believe in his ability to walk, then why do you pray to him? Why do you trust him? Then, if you don't listen, you got to trust God. Tap it and say, you need to trust God. Listen, both of you can be up. You go to sleep, let God be at work. He that keepeth you does not sleep nor slumber. In the days when I started praying and trying to trust God, I'll be tossing at times on the bed. And God says, hey, I'm he that keepeth you. I don't sleep, I don't slumber. Why are you torturing yourself? So I have learned to go to sleep now. Amen, somebody. Tap it up and say, go to sleep. Your Father is what? Is at work. You may not see anything. It may not look like it. Listen, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. When it looks like nothing is not happening, a lot is happening. For your information, the spiritual world is more real than the physical world. For your information, they that are with you are more than those who are against you. For your information, a lot of things God is cooking up. God is preparing for you. It's just waiting for manifestation. For your information, God has not forgotten you. The prayers you have said has been answered. Just wait for the physical manifestation. It's on the way. Your car is on the way. Your children are on the way. Your lifting is here. Your miracle has come. Tap it up and say, do you believe? Listen, listen, listen. God is a faith God. And we're supposed to be a faith people. We are faith children. Amen, somebody? I said, amen. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe. Matthew 21, verse 22. What does Jesus say? Jesus said, and all things. Say, all things. He says, all things whatsoever is your acts in prayer, believing. All things whatsoever is your acts in prayer, believing. Say, believing. You will what? Receive. So, believing is important. Where is your faith? Jesus asked the disciples in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, when they were in the IC, he said, where is your faith? It's important to believe. At times, some people have more faith in the prayers of others than their prayers. Hello, somebody. Listen, it's good to pray. It's good for others to pray with you. Pray for you or with you. But you better know how to pray for yourself. Hello, somebody. Listen. It's important for you to know how to pray for yourself. Say, know how to pray for yourself, somebody. Some people want to relax and lean on others to pray for them. Those people are already carrying their body. Carry your body into. Amen, somebody. Look at them and say, carry your body. And by the way, listen. Let's face the fact. Let's face, you see, it's because of its laziness. Say laziness. So I once told you the story of somebody who came to me. Somebody said, please pray for me and fast for me. And they brought the breaking materials. Say breaking materials. Milo and milk and every other thing. For the person who's praying and fasting to be breaking. Amen, somebody. So one day when they came unannounced, they just came suddenly. Amen, somebody. They met the man. It's not 6 p.m. now. He said, oh God, rebel loaning. you better start praying for yourself. The man is using wisdom already. You're supposed to be on the mountain. It's just like that today. What do you mean? I was the guarantee that it was not like that yesterday. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, have faith. Come to the throne of grace. Listen, I tell people, there's no point praying if you don't believe God is going to hear you. Why pray then? Faith, it takes faith to move God. What moves God is not our tears. What moves God is not sentiments. It's not emotions. No! What moves God is faith. Woman with the issue of blood, what moved God? Faith. Our faith. Check the Bible. You see people's faith. Moving God into action. Your faith will open new chapters. As you begin to rely and depend on the God who answers prayers, your faith will open doors that nobody can shut in the name of Jesus. Let me run. How many have I given you now? I must give you all the 10. Amen. Otherwise, I will be on this next week, and I don't want to be on this. Tap it over and say, God bless Pastor and help Pastor. Are you getting it out of this morning? Number 6. How does the word say we should pray? Is it 6? Okay, that means you're following me. Amen. Number 7. It says we should pray not by using vain repetitions. If you look at Matthew 6, verse 7, it says, don't pray like the heathens pray. How do they pray? It says, they pray using what? Vain what? Repetitions. Like the heathens. Who are the heathens? People don't know God. It says, for they think. Say think. Can you say think? That they shall be heard. How? You see that word, much speaking in the literal Greek means loquacity. You know what they call loquacity? When somebody has a loquacious spirit, can what? Can talk and talk and talk. It's like having a garrulous spirit. What people look at me in a strange way? Amen, somebody. Is it too big a grammar? Amen, somebody. Look at you and say, I hope you're not loquacious. At times, I was a friend of mine that went to a prayer meeting, honor prayer meeting, and in the presence of the prayer meeting, they told everybody to run around the church 7 times. Amen, somebody. And they ran around the church 7 times, and after they now came back again. Amen, somebody. And the people did not run very well. The person was saying that they have the spirit of slumber. Amen, somebody. I hope I got the translation right. I don't know, but maybe it's close. Amen. And the person was trying to tell them that, you know, they are running around was a basis, amen, somebody, for their prayer to be answered. No. Listen, let me, there are so many taboos, say many taboos, or faboos, whichever one, amen, somebody. Have you known the word faboo? Say faboo before. There are many faboos when we're in secondary school, say faboos. Mint, thank you, sir, that's the word mint. That's the English word.
So if you put your bed, if you put your Bible under your pillow, and you sleep, oh, you're going to be safe and secured. The Bible has to be inside your heart too. It must be inside your heart for you to be safe and secured. Go and take giant-sized Bible, giant print, put it on your Bible. When I was secondary school, I did that religiously. But I discovered that when I upon my doing it, those people that come to press me in the night, they will still come. So I said, maybe I didn't position it very well. Let me change it. Maybe it was not at the north angle. Put at the north angle now. He still did not stop. I said, I don't get this thing. Is it east angle? I did all the angles. The result was still the same. The Bible must be in your heart. The word must be in your heart for it to work. All these taboos. Amen, somebody. Listen. Don't get me. Now, what I want to say, you must understand this. What I want to say now. Now, the fact that somebody prays like that and probably got result or is getting result does not mean that that's the way you're supposed to be praying. Let me say this to you. Do you know we bring our personality to prayer? Oh, you don't know. Oh, you bring your personality. I mean, I bring my personality to preaching because that's my personality. Amen, somebody. I mean, for somebody whose personality to stand still, very stable, like a rock of Gibraltar. Listen, you cannot be saying that person is not doing well because the person is not jumping up and down like pastor is jumping up and down. Pastor likes to go up and down. Amen, somebody. That's pastor. Amen, somebody. So the fact that you are not jumping up and down your prayer, oh, rapakachu, hey, brother, basaka, hey, brother, Jesus. You bring your personality. Your personality shows in everything you do. The way you pray, you want somebody doing like this, oh, brother, that's his personality. Oh. Don't think that by holding the booby, that's what's going to. No, that's not what makes it answer. So you see somebody say, oh, 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 Oluwa, 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 Oluwa. Talk to me now. Some people are looking away from me now. So that's the way to pray. Oluwa, Oluwa. Listen. Do things out of revelation. Amen, somebody. Don't pray like the heathens do. They think that, I tell people, God is not deaf of hearing. So Olum, Oluwa, Sanu. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not deaf of hearing. If I look at verse 8, he says, your heavenly Father knows the things you need before. You know, you can block somebody's head by your shouting. You don't know. You are shouting. The person, in fact, at the end of the person just shut his ears. Over delete. You want to block his ears. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, God knows. It's important that we pray with understanding. I pray God will give us understanding in Jesus' name. I need to round up. Number what now? Wow, maybe I have to stop on this. Amen. Pray with the right motives. With what? Listen to this. One of the reasons many prayers are not answered is because the motive is wrong. Listen. Don't get envious of other people's blessing. Amen, somebody. Hello? Don't get envious. Don't say, I need a car. I need a car. Listen, if God knows that you can't do a car now, he won't give you a car yet. So say, I need a man in my life. I need a man now in my life. Are you sure you can do a man in your life now? it's a free one. Are you sure you can do a lady now? Are you sure you can do a lady? Say, I need a woman in my life. Do you know what a woman is? Listen, it's not just the shape. Oh. It's not just the biological or physiological. No, a woman is more than that.
Many of our young men, they just think a woman is just the structure and the shape. It's more. That's why you may get the shape right. You may get the structure right. Listen, you will begin to see the other side of the lady sometimes as the time goes on. Most of the things they show us on Hollywood is not the truth. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. Listen, we have been made to believe a lie. They tell you about the shape. They tell you about the figure. Ah. Hey. Kabaya sakata. As a lady, she one of the lead actors in Law and Order. Law and Order is an investigative American, series that she had done multiple plastics just because they would say you must be like this. You see, we got to a time. After we got to a time, Ojo Apa is even from what? They have to substitute her. That's the cruelty of the world. They say, you're getting. Listen, you cannot cheat that. That will happen. Hello? You see, that's why a lot of people are confused now. Most of the things people see on TV, listen, most of the things you see on Hollywood, they are not the truth, oh. They are not the truth. And look, they show you that woman is like, everything about her is just classy. Everything about her is just, You have not seen her in her true nature. You have not seen her when the other side of her begins to manifest. Amen, somebody. Our emotions. Amen, somebody. You have not seen that side. Amen, somebody. Our humanness. You have not seen that side. The one they are painting to you is the one that is always, That's not true. Look at your neighbor and say, pray with the right motives. Jesus said through James in James 4 verse 3. He says, you ask and you receive not. He said, why? Because you ask amiss. You ask wrongly. Why? So that you can consume it upon your lust. The motive is wrong. Motive is wrong. Listen, God will judge you faster or quicker based on what is on your heart than what is on your moves. He will judge you faster on your motives than your moves. God is always looking at the heart. That's why he's looking at your heart. Your heart. Your heart. Why are you asking for that thing? Why are you making that demand? I want to show everybody you have arrived. You know, not in this part of the world, there's a lot of them go take, them go take. They have to take. Who are the people? Who are you trying to impress? Hello, somebody else. Who are you trying to impress? Who? You want to show off? That's not Christianly. That's not biblical. Go and read your Bible very well. Matthew 6, Jesus said, the people can't read all of this. Matthew 6 from verse 5, it says, don't pray like what? Don't pray like the hypocrites. They love to be seen. There's nothing wrong with praying in the public, but if your motive is to say, hey, man of prayer, woman of prayer, hey, and you're feeling that, say, yes. Jesus said, you have received your reward. What's that reward? Yes. That's it. That's a reward. I don't want that kind of reward. I don't want that. I want solutions. I want answers. Amen, somebody? Who cares? You see, that's why a lot of people put focus and attention on the wrong things. God says in that scripture, listen, don't pray to be seen of men. Pray to be seen of God. I want God to see me. That's what matters. It doesn't matter if anybody does not see. I'm not even interested in that. Hello, somebody. What I'm interested in is I want God to see me. I want God to hear me. I want God to feel me. Amen, somebody. What help does he render if men see you? Amen. That's your reward. They've seen you. That's all. You still remain with the problem. Look at everybody. Say, let your motives always be right. Let's rise up on your feet. I can't go beyond this. Lift up your hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that you want me to be successful
in my prayer life. And this morning, I receive fresh oil upon my prayer life. Lift up your hands and begin to talk to him. Lift up your hands and begin to talk to him this morning. Lift up your hands and begin to talk to him this morning. Lift up your hands and begin to talk to him.